I was afraid that there wouldn't be enough room. I'd have to put chairs down the aisle. But it seems like that we should have went out and shook the bushes and scared some up and brought them more in. But it's good that we're here. Some told me that they wouldn't be here, but plans were made already before, not on. And they said it wasn't my fault. I mean, it wasn't because I was preaching. But it's good that we're here. And I especially want to thank you for coming, and especially you that might be visiting with us. It's good to have you. We always appreciate visitors. We know that you, when you come that and come back again and again, there's something here that interests you. And I hope that this evening that we'll make it very interesting enough that you'll want to come back. It would be very unkind on my part if I did not thank the elders for inviting me and for you coming to speak. In the absence of Brother Greer. We appreciate Brother Greer, and more so when other people want him too. I'm grateful that people want him and he goes for meetings. If we had somebody here that nobody wanted, I don't know whether we'd want him or not. But it's good that he can go and preach and be at other places. He needs to do that every opportunity that he can, places especially where they don't have speakers. I'm not going to try in my lesson tonight to exhaust all of the scriptures that pertain to this subject that I'm going to talk about. If I did, we'd be here for a long time. And Brother Conley's sandwich would run out. He said he brought a sandwich with him. And his sandwich would run out. But many, many, many years ago, a preacher much older than me at that time, I just remember it. He was talking to a bunch of fellas about preaching. He says, when you start to preach, if you have 8 points, you've got 4 too many. He says, you've got 4 too many. So I suppose if you've got 4, you've got 2 too many. But we're going to try to bring something to you that would be of a great importance to us. Nothing new. I'm not going to talk about something that you haven't heard before. I'm not going to bring to us our minds any scriptures that we have never heard. They say the same tonight as they did years ago when we've studied them all the time. But we need to bring to our attention from time to time some things in the scriptures. The Hebrew writer says we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we heard, lest we drift away from them. So we need to keep in mind those things, and that's the reason that we get up at times and have preaching and Bible studies, that the scriptures, we go over and over them and over them again. And they say, well, you've studied that before, and you've probably heard what I'm going to talk about maybe a couple of weeks ago. But I'm afraid that we might let them drift away from us, and I'd like for us to keep them in our mind. That's the reason that I study. The subject that we're going to talk about is obedience. It's a very simple thing that we'll be talking about, but I'm simple and I don't know to get very deep in the scriptures to talk about things. But obedience is being in subjection to the authority of another, whether to God or to a human being. In the Bible, the word is used most often in the sense of subjection to the will of God and His command. If you think about it, obedience is one of the very first things that we learn when we come into this world. And from our early age, we learn from our parents' instructions how to survive. So tonight, we're going to talk about being in subjection to God. Not all individuals are willing to be in subjection or to be obedient to anybody. We know that. Not to anybody, but especially to God. No, we don't want to be in subjection to anybody. Don't want anybody to tell us or have to follow any instructions at all, but especially to God. There are 3 individuals that come to my mind, or more, but that come to my mind in the scriptures that had excuses because they were not obedient to the Bible, to God's word. And we find in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and the 24th verse, Saul. Saul obeyed the voice of the people. He didn't want to listen to what the Bible said, to the commands of God. He obeyed the voice of the people. Listen to what he said. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Is that a characteristic of me? That I listen to somebody else, what they have to say, and follow them rather than what God says? Saul sinned because he listened to the voice of the people. Genesis 3 and 7, Adam obeyed the voice of his wife. It might be good sometimes if we obey the voice of our wives. And on the other hand, it might be good for our wives to obey our voice. I think it's a mutual thing, and we need to listen to each other. But Adam sinned by obeying the voice of his wife. Listen, in Genesis 3 and 7. Then to Adam he said, the Lord God said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat. He listened to his wife and ate of the tree that the Lord commanded him not to eat of. And in Acts 26 and 9, Paul the apostle says that he obeyed something else. Listen, I indeed myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. He listened to the voice of his conscience. Tell him he thought, behold, I thought I ought to do many things. He listened to the voice. Excuses, excuses, excuses. No reason, just excuses. Now let's look at something we must be obedient to, and the results, if we are, and if we're not. Just one of the things, what should man be obedient to? One of the very first things that came to my mind was the truth. In Romans 2 and 8, the Apostle Paul, writing to those at Rome, had this to say, but unto them that are contentious, that is a person that would resort to most anything, contrary to what God says, want to argue about everything and get your mind off of this and don't want to do this. But he said, to those that are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Man cannot just know the truth, but he must be obedient to it. Don't try to argue about what God said or be contentious about it. Just do what he says. This is for not only us who are professing members of the body of Christ, but this is for every person under the sound of my voice. This is a lesson to every one of us, knowing one in particular. Also in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now that you have obeyed, been obedient to God's word, you've been made pure, he says. Man also should obey the faith. In Romans 1:5, again, writing, Paul, the apostle writing to those at Rome, has this to say, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for what? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Also Jude 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. This is just saying, be zealous, be on fire, be ready. Put action into our faith. We need to let our actions speak for the faith that we possess. Is this a characteristic of each one that's here this evening? Is this a characteristic of me? Man also should be obedient or obey the faith of the gospel. Gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's something that is powerful. And it's that we need to be obedient to the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, the apostle has this to say, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Why will we be punished with everlasting destruction? Because they don't obey the gospel. He said you need to obey the gospel. Be obedient to it, or we'll be punished with everlasting destruction. We should also obey the form of doctrine. A form of doctrine is a mold, something that would make us something like something else that was delivered to us. Also again in Romans 6:17, the apostle writing to those at Rome, he has this to say, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When did we become the servants of righteousness? When you obeyed that form of doctrine. That's what makes us free. That's what makes us serve God by obedience and his will. We need to obey that form of doctrine. Now we've seen that we should obey. Now let's look at man disobeying by refusing to listen to God, by doing nothing, by just going his merry way and doing nothing. And sometimes we do that, don't we? Yes, we do that. Man disobeyed by refusing to listen to God by doing nothing. In John 5:39-40, listen to what Jesus has to say. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You just do nothing. You won't come to me. You just go around your merry way and don't do anything. But you need to come to me and obey that you might have life. Refuse and do nothing about it. They refuse to accept the one that died for them. Sometimes we do the same thing. We refuse to accept his word and are not obedient to it and go our merry way and do nothing. Don't think about the implications, the thing that the results and the end results in it, about the one that died for us and do nothing about it. We need to look through faith to him who was suspended between heaven and earth. Someone gave his life for me. That's the reason I'm standing here this evening. Someone gave his life for me. This is very important to each one of us to think about. Obedience to God. Also, James 1:22-23 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. When we get up in the morning, we go to the mirror. That's one of the first things we do. We go to the mirror. We look in the mirror and we see, look at ourselves. Or do we stand there and just leave and do nothing about it? We wash our face, we comb our hair and get that all straightened out. And don't go away and forget about what manner of man we were looking at in that mirror. And that's what he's saying the perfect law of liberty is. When we go away sometimes and forget about what we're thinking about when we look in there and what it tells us, and we're not obedient to what we read and what we study. Not obedient to it. Man can also disobey by adding to the word. In Proverbs 30:6, add thou not unto the words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Don't add something to God's word and think that he has not put something in there already that's more sufficient for our living than what he has put in there. Just do not add to the word. Again, in Revelation 22:18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the saying of this prophecy, of this book, if any man shall add to him, if any man shall add him to the plagues, he shall be. If any man shall add these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Do not put into practice the things that are not written in the Bible. We need to practice and put into practice those things that are in there. We can at the same time disobey by taking away from the word. In Revelation 22:19, If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. We say, many people say, well, there's no use to be baptized. Well, in other words, they're saying it's not written in there that we are to be baptized. Or it doesn't make any difference. You don't have to meet on the first day of the week. They're saying they're disobeying by taking away from the word, aren't they? Also, we disobey by substituting something else. In Matthew 15:9, Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of men." Man says a lot of things that's not right and that God's not approved of what we say. What Christ has to offer if we are obedient to him. And again, time will not permit of all of the blessings that are found in him if we'll accept him and be obedient to him. I would stand here the rest of the evening and the evenings and even evening. But in the privacy of our homes, it's good sometimes just to sit down and take the Bible and to look at all of the blessings that are in him. All of the things that we receive that we can have that we can't have without him. So many people, members of the church as well as not members of the church, go their merry way and forget what manner of person they were and don't look into the perfect law of liberty and want to obey or be obedient to what God has to say and don't think about the blessings that they're receiving or whatever they have. It came from God. One of the things that he offers us is rest. Matthew 11:28-29, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Also, he offers life. Jesus offers life. John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Also again, John 14:6, Jesus had this to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And if we're obedient to him, he offers love. John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for a friend." That's love. That's what I was talking about a while ago. So that we could receive all of the blessings of life. Jesus gave his life for us, for the sins of the world. God the Father was willing to give his only begotten Son for our sins. And he was willing, Jesus, his Son, was willing to die. That is love. He offers salvation in a plan if we're obedient to him. John 3:3-5. Also Mark 16:15-16. Also Acts 2:38. He also offers joy in John 16:24. But not only joy, he offers peace. John 14:1-4. Jesus has promised us peace. He also offers the necessities of life. Matthew 6:33. "Seek the kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you." He makes all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to the purpose. How are we called? By the gospel and our obedience to it. We need to be saved. Have you obeyed God? Have you been obedient to him so that you can receive all of these blessings that we've been talking about. If not, there's no hope that awaits us when we pass from this life. Only a place of torment awaits us. But thanks be to God, He's made a way for us that if we'll only obey, be obedient to Him and accept His word, to His will, we can leave this building tonight and are faithful to death, we can receive those blessings that are found in Him. Also a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15 and 16. We have to believe the gospel, have faith in it. So many put restrictions on salvation by saying you have to have some kind of a feeling of some kind before that you can be obedient to God. He'll give you some kind of a feeling. The Bible says nothing about a feeling of no kind. Why didn't Peter tell the people on Pentecost when they asked him what they should do? You've got to have some kind of a feeling. Why didn't he tell them that? The Bible doesn't say anything about that. But if God had instructed him to do that, he would have. He told them to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, teaching the people the things that I have taught you. He didn't tell them to tell them that they had to have any kind of a feeling. No kind of a feeling. Why didn't Jesus tell the apostles that when he sent them out, to tell the people you've got to have some kind of a feeling? Do we really believe that there is a God? Do we really believe we have to be obedient to His word? Do we really believe that there is a place better than this? To those who have obeyed the gospel, have been obedient to His word, years have gone by and years have passed by. Things that we might have done that's not in harmony with God's will. We're not in the best of relationship with Him because of some of the things that we've done. If public nature that we've done things like that, we need to ask God to forgive us of those things and ask the congregation, the prayers of this congregation, to help relieve us of those sins, those things that we've done. If it's not of a public nature, something that we have done within ourselves and we just don't like it, I fear that it's not right, we need to go to God privately and talk to Him more than we do sometimes, I suppose. We need to talk to Him about that. Those that are here that have never been obedient to God in rendering your obedience to Him through baptism, arising from this watery grave of baptism to walk in a new life, something different than we've been walking in before we did that. If we haven't done that, we don't have the blessings offered to us if we don't do that. But I would to God that there were those here this evening in this audience that would come and want to render their obedience to God and want to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And I wish there were those that would come saying, I have sinned and I want to ask the prayers of this church and the help of you saints to help me on my journey. We need to talk about serious things, emotional things. To me, it does us good sometimes to talk about them. This is a serious thing that we're talking about. I wouldn't want to say anything to try to make you think that I'm trying to make you do anything. I don't think that's right, but sometimes we come across that way, that we're so dogmatic in certain things that it has to be that way exactly if it's the truth, yes. But I'm talking about prick our hearts and cause us to think and cause us to study. Cause us to want to obey, not as if we had to and you're trying to make us obey. I'd like to leave or close this lesson this evening with three verses of Scripture from John 14, 1 to 3. Listen. Jesus speaking to his disciples and said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, if you are obedient to my word." We can have that place only if we are obedient to God's commands. Again, are you willing to submit to his will tonight? Leave this building a Christian on our way to heaven. So many things there are to gain by being obedient to God, by acknowledging that we have sinned and that we need you. We need all the blessings. We want to be obedient to you. If you're under the sound of my voice and need to render obedience to God tonight, while we stand and sing, would you come and sing?